Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is John B. from San Diego.
Stand on this thing. Hi, my name is John. I'm an alcoholic. Somebody said I was supposed to sit in the front. I didn't know that. As a friend of mine who's passed away used to say, don't start the timer till I get up there. Anyway, welcome, a special welcome to the newcomers. I hope you hear something you can use tonight. I would say one of the best benefits of being in Alcoholics Anonymous is I overcame my fear of public speaking, but I would not recommend becoming an alcoholic to do that. I think Toastmasters is probably a lot cheaper and less painful. Let me see. Format is what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I'm a drunk. I can remember I was born in Houston, Texas, and my dad was in the Air Force, and we moved to Arizona in 55, and he was stationed at Luke Air Force Base and went to Catholic school. You know, I was a good kid, and but I tell you, there was something that as soon as somebody offered me something, whether it was alcohol or drugs, I said, sure. And there was no off switch. And I did everything to excess. And, you know, it was fun for a lot of years. And I went to the doctor today to get some medication for my back because my back is out. And on the side of the bottle, it says, do not mix with alcohol. And I used to love those type of medications because, you know, mixing stuff up amplified the effect. And I went on like that for many years. I guess I was more of a periodic drinker, as it's described in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous, because, you know, I had a job, I was married, and I wasn't drunk every day, but when I did get drunk, man, oh, man, I loved those company parties. When the store managers were mixing the drinks, they'd use about this much liquor and about this much mixer. And I always overshot the mark. And that went on, and I got divorced, and then I kind of fell off the deep end. And I remember distinctly the day I became a daily drinker. I just all of a sudden got home and realized that I was drinking every day. And then I was drinking a blackout every day. And that went on for about 4 years. And I moved and changed jobs. And at that point, I was living alone. And that's how I was at the end of my drinking career, was at home drinking alone and truly, truly miserable. And there's a gentleman that goes to my Tuesday night meeting, and he always mentions that's the thing he remembers the most is the loneliness. And I was just, I mean, really miserable. And I got popped for drunk driving and got ordered to, I guess it was outpatient alcohol screen, you know, treatment. And I was self-medicating during that. And I got caught twice and then given the ultimatum of, you know, staying sober for the remainder of the deal or going back to the courts. And I don't know, I January 17th, 1987 was my last drink, but you know, I didn't think that was going to be my last drink. I mean, I had no intention of staying sober. I just wanted to not feel the way I used to feel. And man, I had no idea what Alcoholics Anonymous was like. I mean, when I was in that program, they never took us to any meetings, which is kind of unusual. And I was introduced shortly after that a woman who was in my group with me, her husband called me up on a Sunday night, and I was sitting there, you know, just thinking, you know, what am I going to do? I'm sober now, but, you know, I knew it was only a matter of time before I was going to drink again because I was alone with myself. And phone rings, this guy calls and says, how'd you like to go to a meeting tonight? And I said, yeah. And I always share this at meetings that when I got here to Alcoholics Anonymous, I guess I was filled with enough willingness and desperation to give this thing a shot, because everything else in my life, you know, I got tired of really fast, got bored with, and I was always filled with skepticism and, you know, cynicism, you know, this isn't going to work. And when I first got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I thought it was some kind of, you know, the book always refers to it as, some people think it's a cult. And I always thought it was a mutual admiration society. And but I saw these people week after week, and I knew they couldn't be faking this, you know, the smiling, you know, like the good feeling. I knew they couldn't be faking that for that long. So, and then I came to the realization that, you know, all that negative thinking was in my head. And that's one of the invaluable lessons of this program is, you know, to seek God's will and turn off the head. And I started attending a men's meeting, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. And the topic at that meeting every Monday night is, how's God working in your life? So I'm constantly looking for how God is working in my life, you know. And I've gotten bored and complacent in Alcoholics Anonymous, and, you know, things get good and then I get lazy. And but I can always scrounge up an attitude of gratitude. And it was Ann T. that, you know, introduced me to that concept about, you know, just be grateful for what you have. And, you know, when I first got here, it was, you know, great, you know, getting a good night's sleep and, you know, being employed and having my bills paid and having a place to live. And, you know, and as time wore on, you know, I was expecting more, but lately, I think it's just enough to be sober and be a human being, be a worker among worker and a friend among friends. That's another thing is, you know, it was hard for me to find a common ground with a bunch of drunks. And I'm no better, no worse than anyone in this room. And, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous has given me that ability to right-size my thinking and make me feel like a part of the human race. And I'll tell you, I'm 56 years old, and I've never had it so good. And I never had any kind of idea about what I wanted in life, because I was always trying to find it. But now I fit in my own skin, and it's truly a blessing to be sober and be here with a bunch of drunks. Well, hopefully recovering alcoholics. I love Alcoholics Anonymous, and, you know, I believe firmly in, you know, the concepts of the 12 traditions and unity, recovery, and service, because it's just real simple. It's you know, two alcoholics talking to each other and keeping each other sober. And in the early days of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, it was all done by, you know, accident. And, you know, Bill Wilson wrote that book and was trying to help other alcoholics, and they kept relapsing. And I think it was his wife that pointed out that, you know, he was still sober. And then, you know, that's where all of that thought about the 12 traditions grew out of, that, you know, trying to help another alcoholic is keeping us sober. And, you know, I can't imagine life without Alcoholics Anonymous, because before I got here, I couldn't imagine life without alcohol. You know, that thought, I've heard many people share at meetings, that thought was truly frightening when I first got here. You know, what am I going to do? How am I going to live life? How am I going to go to parties? How am I going to go do anything without drinking? You know, all that fear about how am I going to mix with people and, you know, talk to people. And it's much more fun doing it on the natch, you know, without medication of any kind. And I've learned how to do that in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I had such an aversion to drugs. I mean, I went to the doctor, and the first thing he wanted to do was prescribe Vicodin, and I said, you know, I don't want to do that. I'd like to, and he said, okay, well, you can mix the Motrin with the Tylenol. He says, oh, okay, that's okay. And I don't know. It's not that I have feelings of euphoric recall about what that used to be like, and we laugh a lot about that. When he said brandy to brownies, I was thinking about my friend with the marijuana cookbook. And, I don't know. I just want to live life with everything today, and that's the benefit of being sober, is that, you know, we get to experience everything, the pain and the joy, unmedicated, and it's truly, truly a wonderful life. And, you know, I could not have imagined this life. You know, they always talked about that when I was here. You know, if you could make a list of everything you wanted, you'd shortchange yourself. And, you know, I've grown into that life and just enjoying it. And thank you. Life is to be enjoyed, not endured. And thank you very much.